When you read the Bible, you find there are quite a few mothers referred to, described, and told about. They seem to feature very importantly in the lives of a number of people. Now, today we're looking at this one mother by the name of Hannah, but you know very well that there are others. We know about the mother of Moses. We know about the mother of John the Baptist, how important she was. Of course, the mother of the Lord Jesus himself, very important lady in the Bible. As was the tremendous influence that Timothy's mother and his grandmother had on his life, according to the Apostle Paul. Today we see Hannah. You know what her name means? The name Hannah means grace. And she is, as we read today, is the mother of Samuel, who was just a tremendously powerful and influential prophet in the nation of Israel. We even have two books of the Bible that bear his name. Even today, one of the nice things about mom is what? She'll always love you. She'll always stick with you. Always hang in there with you through all the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows. She'll always love you. Mothers tend to be like this. I know not all mothers are. Some have failed miserably at this. And this is only a generalization, we can say. We can't make a sweeping generalization about all fathers, too, because it varies greatly. But a mother's love is something that we all recognize. The last person in the world to let you down will probably be your mother. Even in today's paper, there's an article about in the first section about gangsters, and gangsters from a long time back. They were vicious men who killed a lot of people and did a lot of terrible things. But every one of them had this tender place in their hearts for their mothers, and they honored them and took care of them and almost worshiped their mothers. And probably that would have been the last person who would ever stop loving somebody as terrible as a gangster was them. And your mother probably showed you this kind of love too. You know, I know there were times when she swore that she would give the gypsies $20 to take you away while they were passing through town. There were those times she told you to go out and play in traffic, would you, kid? But she didn't mean it. She was just frustrated or mad at the time, but she just kept on loving you. And there's the old joke that says that guy had a face that only a mother could love. You know, what does that say? Not only about you commenting on the guy's looks, but that's a comment on a mother's love, too, isn't it? Wouldn't matter how ugly her boy might be. She still thinks he's the greatest in the world. And we could even probably describe God's love. We call him our Heavenly Father, but he could just as easily be described in motherly terms as well, because his love is so unconditional and just never quits, and he's always there for us. So all the things that we can say about her, we can say about our Heavenly Father as well. A mother's love is complete and constant. And that's why it's so hard for moms to let go. Right? And yet, what is it we're going to see about Hannah today? What she did with her little boy? What she did was, she let him go. She gave him up. And now we say, now that's a fantastic mother. That is a wonderful mother. Did you catch how very badly Hannah wanted to be a mother? Oh, she desperately wanted to have a child. It was made... Her situation was all the more intense because, you see, her husband, Elkanah, had two wives. You see, her name Hannah meant grace, and I guess Elkanah means fool because this guy had two wives. I mean, come on, fellas. One's hard enough to maintain, but he had two. You guys are not brave enough to say amen, are you? Nobody is in here, are you? Because you're sitting too close to your wife, right? Elkanah, like so many situations we read in the Bible, he's got more than one wife, and they compete with one another. Who's surprised? That's very understandable. There are other situations like that, Abraham and his wives and others as well, Sarah and Hagar, Rachel and Leah. You know, it's just a very, very difficult kind of situation. And lo and behold, the other wife, Peninnah, I guess that's how you say her name, she could have babies right and left. She could just have kids one right after the other. So you know what she did with that. You can read it here in the Bible. She had something up on Hannah, okay? because she was just giving her husband's babies. Her husband loved Hannah very, very much. It didn't matter to him. He loved her greatly. But she was just not what she should be. In that society and in that day and that time, actually they really valued a woman more if she was giving birth, especially to sons. Now, you and I have lost that sense of that kind of thing. We don't think in those terms that a woman will only have value if she can have children. That's really a foreign concept. I can remember I had two great aunts, and boy, they loved me like crazy. And they loved my brother and sister, too. And they were so very, very special. My Auntie Anna just never married, so she didn't have children of her own. And my Aunt Christine, she just couldn't have children. She was married, but they just never had kids. But I never was told that, well, gee, they aren't worth much because they never had children. They were just valuable people to me and everybody in our family. But that wasn't the situation in Hannah's time. She just was considered a nothing or a nobody because she couldn't have children. And so her pain was very, very deep, not just because she had the motherly instincts, but because her whole society said she would really be something if she could give birth to a child for her husband. This motherhood business is a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. It's a privilege. One of the most powerful forming influences in a person's life first comes through who? Yeah, good old mom. Mothers. You can cite modern studies today that indicate that the most formative years of a child's life are those first 2 years. He or she will learn more in those 2 years about what it means to be a human being, how to operate the body, how to think, how to learn words, more in that 2 year time period than all of the rest of life, as far as the masses of quantity of information coming into a human being. And who's there on the front line being the teacher? It's the mother, especially. I just recently read an article that was talking about monkeys and the studies of them. And they took monkeys and took them away from their mothers. And those monkeys that were raised apart from their mothers grew up to be very aggressive and antisocial. They didn't know how to get along with any other kind of monkey, even their own kind. Because a mother's influence wasn't there to show that little monkey what to do, what not to do. We certainly think that's true for human beings. Hannah wanted to be a mother. She wanted it desperately. She was in the temple praying for it. Do you think Hannah really knew what she was asking for? Does anybody really understand what it requires to be a mother or a father? You never find out until the kid gets here, do you? Oh, my goodness. Irma Bombach wrote in one of her columns her confusion over the image of mothers. She'd watched the soap operas that were around back then. And it seemed like on the soap operas, motherhood was a matter of just having a tender little moment, cuddling a baby, and, just so sweet and nice. And then hand the kid back over to the governess or the nanny who was going to take care of him for these rich people on the soap opera. And Irma Bombach was one who said, hey, wait a minute, the reality is a little different. More like wet diapers, wet baby, sleepless nights, runny noses, cereal on the ceiling, a million questions, shot nerves. Bombeck went on to describe what real motherhood was all about. So maybe Hannah was crazy for wanting all of this. But you know, you get the good and the bad. You get the easy and you get the tough, all wrapped up in this thing called a child. But that's what she wanted. She wanted it bad. Now, where did she go for the remedy for infertility? Any fertility clinics around in this time, thousands of years, hundreds of years before Jesus was born? Not a one. No medications, no shots. So you go to the one who is the giver of life itself, and you go to God. And how closer can you be to God than there in the temple, the holy temple? And you ask him, and you ask, and you ask deeply. Now, she talked to the priest that day. And the priest said she was going to go. She was going to be blessed. May it be done to her according to what she wanted. She left the temple that day, not with a guarantee, not with an assurance that she was going to be a mother, but she knew in her heart of hearts that God had heard her. And lo and behold, we go on to read that God pulled it off. And after a while, her husband, Elkanah, was able to hand out the cigars. Had a baby boy. What's his name? His name's Samuel, which means the name of God. Very special indeed. So the baby's born. She's got this boy in her arms, finally, after all these years and all this stress. And she's promised God. As far as we know, the only person who knew about this promise was her and God. If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you. I won't keep him. He'll be yours. Now, she's got the kid in her arms. Will she follow through? Will she do it? Or will she be like the birth mother for a lady who's planning to give her kid up for adoption? But when she gets her hands on that little one for the first time, she changes her mind. She says, no, even though it's going to be tough, I think I'll keep him. Hannah had a decision to make after the baby was born. But she shows herself to be a godly woman, a woman of her word. She made a promise. She made a promise to give him over to the Lord. She made a promise that she would never cut his hair. You say, what? What is that about? Usually mothers are bugging their kids, hey, get a haircut, kid, come on. But no, she's not going to cut his hair. You know why? Because that was the sign of a Nazarite. A Nazarite a person who was dedicated in the service to God, a male, would not cut his hair, never shave, and also would never drink any alcoholic beverages whatsoever throughout his whole life. So that's the background to why she said, I'll never cut his hair. But Hannah took him, dedicated him to the ministry. She would have him for 3 years, it says in the Bible, until the child was weaned. That would be about 3 years period of time. Then she would take this three-year-old to the temple. She would put him in the hands of Eli the priest, and she would say, I made God a promise. Here he is. He's yours. She said, so I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Wasn't that a great act of faith? I mean, it wasn't like she was walking in there with an 18-year-old with her arm around him. She's walking in here with a 3-year-old. Would Eli take care of him? Would he see that he had the right good food? Would he make sure that he had the right clothing, that he wouldn't catch cold in wintertime? All these mother concerns, you know? None of those guarantees. By faith, she lets go. That he's going to be a little boy living in the temple and serving him. Hannah had the guts to do it. Let go. D.L. Stewart put it this way. Courage is bringing a child into the world, feeding him and clothing him, caring for him and worrying about him, discipling him and educating him, preparing him to the best of your ability for the life he is going to lead, and then letting him live it. Perhaps that's the toughest job that a mom has to do, to let go. Now, last week, I saw it on TV, and yesterday I read it in the paper, reading about helicopter parents. Did you read about that? See those? Helicopter parents? They're the kind of parents, so even though their kids are all grown up, they're still hovering around. The kid's going to the university, and they're calling up the university administrators. They're calling up the teachers and the professors saying, why did you give my son a B when he should be getting an A in this class? They're hovering. They're taking care of what the business the kid should be taking care of him for himself or herself. There were even cases where these parents are going on job interviews with a 25-year-old. Hello, what's wrong here? What would your attitude be if you were an employer and a 25-year-old is showing up with his or her parents for a job interview? And what would you want to say to those parents? Are you such a miserable failure that you have done such a lousy job that your child is not an adult by this time, able to stand on his or her own 2 feet? I'm sorry, that's what I would be asking. That's what I would be saying. Didn't you realize that when you were letting this kid grow up that there was this thing about letting go and sending them out there? Yeah, it's risky. Yeah, they might get hurt, but hello, isn't that life? You got to let them be an adult. I guarantee you, maybe I've told you before, my parents told me time and again those three words that have just mean something to everybody. They told me time and again, I love you. They said it a million different times in a million different ways. They said, I love you. Then they also shared with me abundantly the other three most loving words in life that a mom can tell you. And I heard it most often from my mom. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. Even when I was a little kid, there would be something that she finally figured out. I knew I could do it. She'd say, no, you do that yourself. And I'd get bigger and she'd say, now you do that yourself. She wasn't going to hold my hand through something I was capable of. And I look back now and I say, man, that was a loving thing to do. And therefore you turn into an adult. You don't just stay a kid your whole life. Helicopter parents? No, I'm sorry. That's not the role or the job. Stand on your own two feet. Walk your own road in life. Swim in your own rough sea, kid. The mother who doesn't let go is a mother who does a disservice, a tremendous disservice to her child. Of course, that's not to say, well, we don't have anything to do with our children. No, that's not it at all. Look what Hannah did, right? Did you get it? Every year she came back to the temple. Every year she brought him a robe. Well, he'd grown, of course, right? But we're assuming that this was the robe, the beautiful linen robe and all the ornate decorations that the little guy wore while he was ministering in the temple. So she got to see him. She got to be involved in his life. She got to still be in touch with him. And he got bigger and bigger every year. What a blessing to Hannah. We really do have to let go, don't we? What are we doing when we're letting go? We let the child go to himself or herself. No longer is it our will imposed on their lives, but we're letting them go to their opinion, their ideas, their attitude. And we let go. We let the kid go to himself. Or we might let them go to a career. It's a career that might take them to Seattle, Washington, all the way across the country. Oh, my baby, leaving home. You let them go to a career, or you let them go to a life partner, somebody they're going to marry. You're no longer number one, mom, dad, but that spouse is, that husband, that wife. You let go. I was so amused. When Debbie and I were first married, our Sunday school teachers were telling us about when they first got married. When they first got married, they had one of those little spats, one of those little fights that married couples do, you know. She went running home to mom and dad. Mom and dad met her at the door, and they looked at her and said, what are you doing here? And she told them what had happened. They'd had this fight, they'd had this fuss, and they looked at her and said, go home. Were they great parents or what? They recognized, we've let go. You go back, you work this little tiff out with your husband. Don't look to us. We let you go, girl. What great parents. You might have to let them go in marriage. You might have to let them go in the service to God. Suppose they're called to the mission and the mission fields, and they're going to go to Japan, or they're going to go to Thailand, or they're going to go somewhere across the world. Parents have to let them go to serve God, which is exactly what Hannah did. She really had to let this little guy go. All right, moms, are you a Hannah? Are you a Hannah? Or are you like the wicked stepmother in the Cinderella story? You want to lock the stepchild away. What kind of mother are you? What kind of fathers are we? Because this does apply to fathers equally. Sometimes the dads are worse than the moms. The moms are the ones saying, get out, go on, live your life. And dad's going, oh, my little girl, I can't have her leave home. I hope everybody's listening. Loving thing is to let go. Some of you remember the movie Born Free? It was way back in the 60s. Or maybe you've seen the movie. It's about what? About this couple in Africa who find the little lion cub named Elsa. And all the trials that they go through to try to raise Elsa from being a little lion cub to being a full-grown lion, female lion. What did they do with Elsa? Did they keep her in a cage? Did they keep her in a big fenced-in area so they could enjoy Elsa? Elsa was just got to be as tame as she could be. She thought that the lady was her mother, you know. But they started working as soon as they could to do what? To introduce Elsa back into the wild. To let her go. It was tough. They let her go, and she came a few weeks later. She came back all beat up by the other lions. It was terrible. It broke their heart. But they worked at it and worked at it and worked at it until finally Elsa was gone. Free. Because they knew in their wisdom that's the nature of a lion. A true lion is to live free out there on the range, not in my little confines of my yard. And a human mother looks at his son or daughter and says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set my kid free to live his or her life. With all of its risks, with all of its consequences and possibilities, we let go. Hannah did it. Chapter 2, verse 21, what does it say? Her reward was, God went on to give her 3 sons and 2 daughters. She just had more children. You know, you never do give up something to God, but that he doesn't return it to us many times over with many more blessings. Maybe not in the ways we expect it, maybe not in the way we want it, but God does bless our letting go and trusting him. So let's be inspired by Hannah today. Let's be inspired by what a great mother she was, because what's the main thing she did? She let go. That requires faith. Good luck in doing.